Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Pour out of my love for you, I'll always keep. Filling your cup whenever you need. D'Angelo, send it on. Welcome, family, to Khadija's Cafe. I am Khadija Stewart, your host, and you are in for a treat tonight. How is everyone doing? It's May 16th, 2024. We are 1 month away from halfway through 2024, family. Yes, we have made it. We have made it, right? 6 months in, come June. It is May, and we are close to June. I don't know about you guys, but I'm so glad now here on the East Coast we have some warm weather. We have gotten out of the cold, chilly days, and it looks like we are trying to blossom into spring. So tonight, family, I am so excited. Last month, we did the Love Journey, Part 1. Tonight, we are jumping into the Love Journey, Part 2. Family, get your glass, your sweet tea, your lemonade, your coffee, your sparkling grape juice, your water, whatever you like. Get it together and let's go sit down. You are in Khadija's Cafe. Family, I'm so excited tonight because I'm going to dig deeper into that love journey that we talked about last week, month, right? I keep saying week. It feels like it's only been a week since I've been with everybody. Last month was such an impactful show for me in that after the show, guys, I had to sit and take a breath, right? Because I exposed myself a little bit last month. And I plan on doing a little of that maybe tonight. But tonight, we are going to jump in. Family, tonight we are getting into part two of the love journey. I spoke about the three levels of love last month, right? We talked about service, family, and intimate love. Tonight we're going deeper into that love journey. We are going to discuss how and where you pour your love from, right? We pour love all day long. How do you give love? Do you give when you shouldn't? How to maintain a healthy love relationship. Tonight, family, I have a special guest that's going to be joining me. She and I have been working on building to empower parents and professionals. And I chose this demographic of individuals because these are folks who are usually pouring love into people and on people and multiple levels and multiple times throughout their day. Right? Parents and professionals and business owners, they're constantly pouring love in. They really don't have a choice. Right? Because this is kind of what their service is. I work with parents and business owners who find themselves stressed, overwhelmed, and just generally struggling to maintain themselves in their roles as parents and professionals and business owners. And it's kind of why I've started this program, Parent You, where I'm building a community of parents and professionals and business owners so that we can pour into them, right? We're going to empower them and teach them how to love on themselves. You know, when I work with my clients as a business coach, as a homeschool director or coaching parents even, I hear things like, I can't find time for me while running a business and taking care of my family. It's just impossible. Not true. Where can I find time to run my business successfully while working a full-time job and taking care of my children? Family, these are the things that I hear from my clients all the time. I'm on coaching sessions with them, and they're saying, well, I couldn't do such and such because. And that's the reason for part two of the love journey. We need to understand that we should never be the second ones to receive love. If we're giving love, we have to learn how to give it to ourselves as well. So tonight, family, I am welcoming Nicole Davis of Healing Through Experiences. She is what I refer to as a ball of sunshine. I've always called her that, and she kind of blushes a little when I say it. But I say that because she empowers individuals through holistic healing methods. And one in particular is explaining and guiding folks through a nutrition and Reiki journey, right? We have teamed up together to bring empowerment to these individuals and pour into so many. So I'm going to bring her on in just a minute. But I want to reference something that I talked about. You guys know I always like to go back to my Facebook post and talk about that. And I made a post. And Mama Seven, I hope you're listening because this is about you. I made a post this week, and it said, I know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody equals a network. family, that's what this has become for me, right? Meeting Mama 7 years ago and being blessed to be able to do this show and speak to you, I was brought into a community of people. And Nicole Davis was in that community too, right? And I'm talking about this in reference to love, because what happens is when people of like mind, right, of like love energies, they build a synergy with each other. And what happens is we become a network. We become a network that's connected to each other so that we can help feed each other. And that's what Mama 7 has done, right? She's opened up this awesome network to me, and I've opened up my network. But it's a network that kind of has a far branch, but it's still a small circle because of that love component that's in there. So I want to bring on Nicole if she's there. I want to come on in, introduce herself, so we can get started talking about this part two of this love journey. So, Nicole, are you there?
I am.
Welcome. Good evening.
Good evening, or as I always say, good morning, because it's morning somewhere. We need to wake up.
Somewhere it is. Somewhere it is. If you will, please introduce yourself, Nicole. I didn't do no justice. I really need you to introduce yourself.
No, yes, you did. I was listening. I was in there. Thank you so much. My name is Nicole Davis. I am the founder of Healing Through Experience, and we are a integrative nutrition coaching company. And what we do is we empower women to find their own formula. And what that looks like is going down the rabbit hole of you. We use holistic methods and tools that I personally use and have learned about that have helped me continuously figure out my own formula. And I also am a Reiki master teacher, as well as, I'm also an aromatherapy educator as well, and certification in training. So I'm doing a lot of different things, but what really allows me to shine, as Khadija has said, is to see people find their own answers. And that's what I am tasked to do, because that's what I do for myself. So I look to help people who are looking to find their own answers.
Yes. And she does it so beautifully. She really does. We've been doing retreats, virtual retreats, and have people come in. And honestly, when Nicole starts to talk about the nutrition piece of things, it has opened up. I've gotten so much feedback, and people have told me that, you know, I never thought of things that way. You know, and that's what, in my opinion, someone who is empowering through their coaching, that's what they're doing. They're opening a door that people didn't realize was there. So, Nicole, tonight we're going to get into this love journey. We talked about this, right?
Yes, we have.
So we are going to get right into it. There's a bunch of questions I have for you. But, family, I want you to understand that Nicole and I both are speaking from our own experiences, right? Our trainings as well. And her training is a little different than mine. Mine is a business training, right? So I have the business life training. And like hers is more of an aromatherapy training. But she also has business experience as well. Don't get it twisted.
Yes.
Right? She's not naive to business in any way, shape, or form. But I want to jump into the love journey, because a lot of times, you know, we're doing business. We have families. You're married. You have pouring in. You're pouring in. You're pouring in. And sometimes, you know, we forget that we've got to make sure that our cup has enough to pour from. So when it comes to pouring from that cup of love, Nicole, how should a person ensure that they're giving authenticity and sustainability without depleting their own energy?
Great question. And your questions are amazing. I'll just tell you that all the time. So everything starts, and like you said, I'm speaking from my own experience and understanding, and the understanding of how other humans operate. Everything starts with me and my relationship with me. So I show up for myself honestly, even if I don't want to face truth. It doesn't happen all at once. It's a constant process of refining. So where in the past people may have looked at my smile, I understand now is that they meant that, you know, to come get her energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I would give it when I didn't want to. So now in my new eyes, in this next journey of my life, I have to stop my mouth from saying yes so quickly. which then makes sense to that, you know, that's saying yes to yourself, because I'm accustomed to saying it all the time. So I said, let me think about it. You know, let me go back. Let me get back to you before I run out of my own energy when I have to, you know, refill my own cup, because I was so automated to empty and not give myself back. So it's about, you know, making choices, number one. Regardless of how much I love that person or individual or project, right, people, places, and things, I also started to offer, not to offer help if I didn't have enough to give. I'm used to giving it, so it came easy for me, and that became a real strain. So it's pretty much knowing, you know, being honest with yourself, because we're always going to do it. You know, that's what we're natural givers. You know, we're always going to do that. We're always going to come and showing up as, this is me. I love to give. I love to help. I love people to be able to, you know, feel good in some kind of way. However, I need to make sure that then I'm going back and taking care of my own cup as well. And that may be, hey, I'm going to see you in a little while.
Right. Let me ask you a question, because, you know, like we said, it's a journey, right? It's not something that we do one time and we understand it, right? It takes a couple of, it takes some practice, it takes some pain, it takes some failing at it. So the first time that you use that magical word, N-O, to protect your cup of love, what did it feel like? What did it feel like the first time you had to do that?
Very uncomfortable, and it started at a young age, and because I was, so growing up, I was in a Baptist church in Queens, New York, and so I was in all of the things, and people would ask me to do extra things, and I would say yes, and my dear lovely mentor, who I call her my second mom, said, come here, and she said, do you know how to say no? And I said, yes, and she said, say it. And so she's my elder, right? And you're talking about 13, maybe 13, 14. I didn't want to say no to her. She said, no, say the word no. And I said, no. She said, use that. You don't have to say yes to everybody here, because they're going to keep on pulling from you. Like, that was the first time someone put it to me in that manner, right?
Right.
I didn't learn the lesson then, because I kept on saying yes. So to my own detriment, I said yes. And it's only been up to recently in the past, I would say maybe 4 or 5 years, where I started to be like, I'm gonna work on trying to say no, but it feels so uncomfortable, because you don't want to hurt feelings. Right? You don't want to hurt feelings. However, when you learn a different mindset, or I like to say coming from a growth mindset, even if you are showing yourself more love, right, that transition of is awkward. But we have to keep moving past the transition, because all of our old ways of thinking are going to come back up anyway.
Correct.
And we have to know, hey, we don't do that anymore. We don't do it anymore. And regardless of what the response is. Because, you know what I mean? Because you do, families do it with their own families, their children, you know what I mean? And who can resist a cute kid, you know? and they know how to pull on the heartstrings, and it's those are hard things, or, you know, or a loved one or a project, or, you know, at work, when you're so ingrained into something, it's hard to do that. I just have my pep talks.
Right. You know, and I'm going to reflect a little, because, you know, through my love journeys, I encounter, and I hate to use this word, I'm going to use it because it's important to understand. And unfortunately, it's become a word that's been overused, and that's that narcissism word, right? Everyone doesn't understand probably what that word means. But in dealing with someone that may be like that, you know, and I found this myself when learning to say no, that sometimes you get gaslit, right? Sometimes when you realizing that your cup's not full and you really can't give it, what do you do when a person comes back with the concept that you're just selfish? That's not why you're doing it, right? You're not helping me because you're selfish. How do you respond?
So that, yeah, that takes some practice and again refining in my experience, because I mean I think a lot of us have been gaslit and mm-hmm. publicly and privately. What I did is, and what you said in the beginning of the show to open up the show, talking about your tribe, because mm-hmm. that tribe around you is going to keep you grounded. It allows for, you know, the reminder of who you are, regardless of what someone else says about you. And I remember when I was severely being gaslit amongst a few other things many moons ago, mm-hmm. I had a friend of mine say, Nicole, it's okay to be the bad guy. And what he was saying in this was let that person say whatever they want because the truth always comes through.
Mm-hmm.
So you not caving into what someone else wants for their own benefit had nothing to do with you. You know, so what is the protection that we need to put around ourselves once we get our legs up under us? For me, it's keeping my tribe around me, that's pouring more love on me, and I'm also creating a protective bubble around myself in several different ways, right?
Okay.
I'm going into prayer, I'm going into contemplation, I'm going into the trust and the faith that I'm going to be protected. I'm going into my truth to be like, Nicole, we know what's true. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's that constant conversation, that constant reflection with yourself that you go through, or you
mm-hmm.
should be going through. Ask yourself, yeah, people think you're talking to yourself. Yeah, talk to yourself as much as possible in the highest light possible, because it's going to get you through the darkest times of your life. It really, really will, you know. But, yeah, because that's a hard one. That's a really, especially coming from someone that you cared about at some point, right? It's
right.
Like, well, how would they do this to me? You know, I've given all of this to them. And however, we understand every soul is on its own healing journey,
mm-hmm.
and they haven't dealt with their stuff. You just make sure you're dealing with your stuff.
Right. Now, yeah. Next question is even more difficult. So this is someone who's in your circle, someone who's in your world, but you can't necessarily just exit from, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we have people that are like this in our world that it may take a minute to get them out of our world.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I talked about this on the family journey last year, right? So last month. So what happens when we have family members in our world, right? We're defining these boundaries in our relationship, right? But we're trying to work towards ensuring that our cup of love remains full and nourished. What do
yeah.
you do close to home? Like, what are some of, just give me some examples and maybe some words that the family can take away to start to build those boundaries, right? Because when it's someone that's that close to you, you can't just cut it off immediately. It's
no.
a growth process, right? So you have to build
there
these Yeah, what does
so
that look like?
There's several things. And so I was just, I double booked tonight. So I was just on a live talking about this very same question. And I wanted to make a point, you know, we're talking about, you know, people that are on the journey and doing, you know, doing the work. But I wanted to make a point to say this is exactly what you said, there are people in situations that they may not, they need to get away from, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is when that choice comes through. And when you, it's a long game. It's a
mm-hmm.
real long game, and I had a long game, but not as long as I've known some other people to have to do, because sometimes there's, you know, agencies that need to get involved. There's, you know,
mm-hmm.
a lot more, you know what I mean, a lot more safeguards mm-hmm. that need to be put in place. There's a lot of moving in silence someone has to do. I would say if you don't have someone or you don't have a tribe around you that you can go to, I would encourage someone to seek some sort of help and guidance into
mm-hmm.
being able to put a plan in place. You know, back in the day, you know, they would say, you know, make sure you get some mad money saved up. But whatever that looks like, whatever your supply is that you need,
mm-hmm.
start putting a plan in place. And I had to do this for a time myself because I was in an emotionally toxic abusive relationship, and I didn't really realize what was happening to me. And when mm-hmm. I started making the changes, it started to escalate. And even mm-hmm. though I have an amazing tribe around it, I was the one that wasn't saying anything. However, there's always an angel watching. And so I had to put some things in place, and I had to move real quietly because I was dealing with it at work and at home.
Mm-hmm.
Real quietly, I had to work. It took about a year or so for me to get out, even with having resources. It still was a hard challenge because I still was tethered, you know, emotionally to this person. I wanted to help, you know, because I felt like I could help everybody. You can't help everybody. So I needed to help myself more. So I say, you know, find people that you can, that can help you, safe people, people that you can trust. And sometimes that that may be somebody that's not even in your circle.
Correct.
Right? Unbiased.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
I was being led to stay somewhere I didn't need to stay.
Ah, that part, right? We're sitting in a space that's not safe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're not maintaining that balance that's needed. I know, and reflect, well, you know, I this happened recently, right? Came in contact with someone who did the gaslighting piece, right? They're completely wrong. Did everything completely wrong. But, of course, you know, that's what people that gaslight, that's what they do. Whatever they do wrong, they put it back on you.
Yes.
And you know, there was a time when that would frustrate me. Oh, my gosh, I would become so frustrated by it. Like, why are they doing this? All I tried to do was help. Now they're looking at me, and I'm whining, and I found myself really whining to myself. And then what I've learned to do, and I don't know if this is effective for you, is I get quiet for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm keep with their actions, understanding I've set my boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they get to the point where they think they're putting the nail in the coffin of the gaslighting project,
right.
I go back and I reflect on every step of the way and I give them back what they showed me.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that experience?
Absolutely. I've seen it from others, and I love and understand the power of the silence, right? And credit and thanks to Mama Seven for helping me understand how you can your silence is where you can move as freely as you need to.
Yes, ma'am.
As freely as you, God help me. At the time, and the many moons ago before I, we're talking maybe 20 years ago now. Wow, 20 years ago. Woo, 20 years ago. Oh, my gosh, 20 years ago when I needed to do that, and it was really difficult. And then I haven't seen that type of person in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, but that was painful. That was really, really painful, but I had to put the plan in place. What I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it, and keep my head up in the process.
Not easy.
Keep my head up in the process. That's where I think at that point, that's when I understood prayer and trust. All I could say was, God, carry me over this.
That part.
And I can't even tell you. I don't know what happened. Oh, I know what happened. That was the one of the first times that I just surrendered and felt myself being carried through a major storm in my life when I feared at some times in for my life, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was very
mm-hmm.
short-lived. However, that was an experience where I can be like, oh, okay, now I understand the whole tribe around me, as above and below.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I think it's the ground, you know, that grounding piece and understanding what your where your surroundings are and how you can move in silence.
Right. And I want to talk a little bit about that silence piece, because Sam, you're listening, and she and I are not saying move in silence but not plan, right?
Right. Because
because if you're just quiet but you have no plan, you're not going to move from that space. You're going to still be stuck in that space. And now what's happening is you're being abused.
Right.
Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Right. And that becomes self-abuse. Right?
Yeah, I was getting ready to say that. Now you're abusing yourself. I was just getting ready to say that. Yes.
Yes. So we don't want you quiet, family. We want you quiet with a plan. I always tell you guys, right, brainstorm, organize, plan, then execute. So when you're on that brainstorming and organizing that planning piece, you're quiet. Once you get to that execution, now your voice, oh, my gosh, now your voice is because you're executing, right? Oh, when you're feeling drained and overwhelmed, give family some replenishing tools.
Silence is another. It's a good one. We're going to go there. So what I've learned for me is when I need to replenish, I immediately go to the things that raise my vibration up. So that can look like I just need to go outside for a minute and maybe just stand in some grass or look up in the sky, pay attention to the nature, watch the birds or do something. Or if you don't even have that option, that maybe even if you need to just go in a room and close the door and lock the door just to get some silence, that means, you know, put on some music, pray, work out. My favorite pastime is always travel, will always be travel. Journaling to get out whatever I'm holding in so then I can then fill me up, right? That means if I want to go go ahead and I like watching comedies. They're going to make me laugh, which then brings me joy, which fills my cup, which is giving me love.
Anything
that resonates with you that you like to do, even if it means it's retail therapy, you know, don't go overboard. Go and say, I'm going to, you know, make a plan, make a budget, $50 a month. I'm going to go treat myself to something special. Depending on your budget, that may be $10. It may be $5. It may be $1,000. Whatever that is, put that plan in place for yourself. Or, you know, I love my essential oils. Those always calm me down. And just, you know, one thing I do need to do a lot more of is meditation. It's very powerful also. And, of course, other than all of the things that you mentioned that I do, my Reiki, which has helped literally heal me, that is a major source because I'm getting divine. I'm getting divine energy. I'm getting all the love from that to myself.
You're transitioning into a good piece that we're going to talk about because, like I said, when we did the retreat together, you brought in a nutrition piece. Oh, boy, everybody thinks nutrition is what I ate for breakfast, what I ate for lunch, and what I ate for dinner, right? But that nutrition and that mindfulness and the Reiki, they contribute to refilling that cup of love, right, and maintaining that balance. Can you talk just a little bit about how someone can view nutrition, right, as a way of self-care practice to fill that cup?
So very briefly, the way I look at nutrition and the way I do this in my business, my coaching program, you have your primary foods and you have secondary foods. Primary foods, secondary foods. Traditionally, we would think primary foods is what we're going to go at the grocery store or go to a restaurant and eat. No. Our primary foods are our 12 areas of our life. So that could be spiritual, that could be financial, that is your career, that is your relationships, that is physical, all of these things, right? So we measure how fulfilled we are in those areas. And if we are not fulfilled, we put them on a scale, we rate them, right? If you're not fulfilled, then why? Let's dive deeper into that so we can move that needle to be more fulfilled. Because once you start filling those, then your food choices that you put in your mouth and digest then change. Because then you are mitigating emotional eating, stress eating, lack of eating, right? Or the types of choices that you make. And I have a real quick fun story. Because I'm always experimenting with myself. And I was going to the grocery store, and I was hungry. I didn't eat. I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And so I was like, ooh, Chick-fil-A is on the way. I love the fries. But then my voice said, you should have a smoothie, literally. And I was like, oh, goodness. I Googled where a smoothie place was. And it happened to me, it was out of the way. I went there, got my smoothie, and was so fulfilled and so happy that I did that my route to where I needed to go from there was actually a better route than where I was already on.
Wow.
So I was in the store. I was like, girl, you just did that right there. But it was because I had a choice. I literally had two pathways in front of me. Which one was I going to choose? It starts with the choice that you decide to make. And that day, I chose to do a smoothie. Now every time I'm in that area, I go and do a smoothie before I go to someplace else, you know, and get me a little green smoothie or whatever, and I am satisfied. I have my energies replenished. I'm happy with my choice. My body told me that it's happy with its choice. My spirit is bursting. It's really a matter of choice.
I loved it. I love it. You know, I tell my clients this all the time, right? We're having coaching sessions. I have parents that have full-time jobs, and they started businesses. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're always telling me, well, you know, I don't get a chance to eat at night, and I have to do this, and I have to do that. And I hear you loud and clear, choices, right? So it's a matter of, have you made sure that you've kept a salad or something in a refrigerator that's healthy, or are you stopping at McDonald's on the way, right? Or, like you said, are you going to stop maybe and get a salad or stop and get a smoothie? And of course, family, it doesn't always have to be like this great healthy thing, right? Because we can cheat. We can eat some.
I do it all the time.
Talk about that cake. You and I were talking about, you know, those cake and those cookies.
Yes,
you know,
ma'am.
We have those sometimes. It's okay. Right?
Exactly.
But you make on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell people all the time, like when we were doing Ramadan, when I was fasting, I couldn't eat junk food at all. Even if I may have a little craving for it when I'm working. But because during the sunlight hours, I wasn't able to eat, the minute I broke fast, my body was hungry for healthy. And I tell people that all the time, that it's, you know, what you put in is what your body will want to eat, right? So give it anything bad, it's not going to want anything bad. Would you agree?
I absolutely agree, because your true spirit is coming through, and your true spirit comes from love. So it's only wanting to be fed love, which means energetic foods. It's meaning, you know, you can have your sweet potatoes, or, you know what I mean? You can have everything you want. However, it's the moderation of that, and you're listening, you're giving yourself, which is what the fast can be about. You're listening, you're being more intuitive to your body to have a better relationship, to know what it's calling for later.
Correct. Yeah. I want to talk about this draining and overwhelmed feeling. I like to always keep things realistic, right? You know, and you're not that coach, which is the reason I love you. You and Mama Seven both, right? You guys are realists. You don't coach from this overpowering, mystical place. You guys coach from a place of, you know, this is the reality of where you are, and this is where you need to be. You know, let's talk a little bit about the reality of when you serve others, you're going to be drained. Am I correct? It's going to happen, yes or no?
100%.
Okay. So that's the reality of that. But do you agree that you can serve others? You can be drained. And then you can recover as well.
Yes.
What does recovery look like?
Recovery looks like, for me, recovery looks like grounding. I do some cleansing rituals because as coaches or leaders, healers, we're constantly giving energy from our vessels, right, that then need to be replenished. So what do? There's, again, visualizing protective bubbles to then protect your own space. And I'm super empathic, right? Like many of us are, whether you identify with it or not, you are. So I know me, my superpower, I absorb a lot, and this is why I can understand how people communicate and why they do what they do. So in that, it may be Nicole, you know, comes in and I go and stand on some Himalayan salts for a little bit. To replenish and just to cleanse myself, because then things have been tethered to me that are not mine, that are weighing me down. So especially leaders, you know, because you're managing personalities. So when we're doing that, we're taking on all of their stuff. How do you clean yourself after that?
Right.
Whether you're smudging or taking a bath, you know, giving yourself a white bath or your own self-love bath, which you definitely can make on your own, would put all of the fun elements you want into that, or even a shower if you're not a bath person. The salts are really good, you know, just putting yourself in a retreat if you can. I go to what's making me laugh, what's making me feel good, you know. So that might be watching a movie, that may be having a good conversation with somebody, but it's most importantly definitely praying. definitely praying to make sure that I have replenished myself or speaking to myself, which is an amazing tool, when I speak life and love into myself.
Yes.
Because I deal with so much, or because people tell and dump things on you. It's like, okay, I need a minute. I need to go talk to me now.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that. I do that because it's draining.
I want to stay there for a minute, right? I do this with my clients. I tell them, especially when I see the ones that are fighting something, right? And I know you know those, right? You have those that give you one face. Everything's okay. I'm doing good. And they tell you all the things that they're doing that are oh so wonderful, but you're not seeing it, right? You can tell they're not telling the truth, right? They're hiding something. And I tell them all the time, go look in the mirror and just talk to you. Look in your eyes and talk to you. Mm-hmm. That can be such a cleansing experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, and I don't know if you disagree or agree, that if you are not doing it from a space of sincerity, it can also scare you. Am I right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And so when you talk about, you're lying about whatever's happening, that was me. That was me. How are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. And as people seeing, like I said, people seeing the smile, okay, fine. And no, there's stuff happening below there, and I'm not being honest with myself.
Mm-hmm.
So but that talking, that the mirror work is so important. It's so powerful. Talk to yourself, talk to yourself in the best light. Talk to yourself like you would want someone else to talk to you in the best light. Give yourself that look at yourself. There's one exercise where they tell you, when you, especially for women, we have a lot of body shaming and a lot of things that we're not happy with, this area or whatever. And it's like, listen, meet yourself where you are, look at yourself in the mirror naked and tell yourself something that you are proud of, you love, or what you find desirable about you.
I love
it. Because the first thing we look at is the flaws, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even just within our face. We'll just look at flaws instead of telling ourselves, "Oh, you're beautiful. Oh, you really did that meeting that day. Or you really came up with a great idea." Tell yourself that and call your own name. Your name is powerful. Your name has meaning. Those types of things. It's been so rewarding.
Yes. As we were saying, someone gave you that name for a reason. So. Use it.
Absolutely. And so funny, I wanted to do this project or this other training. I know, right? I wanted to do this other training, and I'm not able to do it at this particular time because I'm on the move. And I talked the facilitator. She was like, "Well, what's stopping you?" And so I was telling her what's going on. She was like, "Oh, you're doing a lot. Okay." So then she said, "You're doing what your name is." And so my name means victory for the people. And I said, I actually looked that up years ago, and I said it's been recently that I really understand and I'm learning to embody what that is.
Mm-hmm.
So then I can go and pour out to people because I'm pouring into myself. I'm owning more of myself than I did before, like tremendously more than I did before, which then changes your relationships with people, because if they're not in alignment, they're going to fall to the wayside, or, they're not going to be on your train anymore. And that's all right, because you're going to get new people. You're going to get this new tribe that's going to help you carry you to your next step or your next level, elevation, enlightenment, whatever, in your journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we have to be okay with shedding. Right? Like
right.
A snake sheds its skin. We got to be okay with doing that too, because that's another form of love. That's the newness. That's the rejuvenation. That's the rebirth, which rebirth, babies come, they're full of love. They're full of that purity. That's what we are.
Right. Pouring back into our own cup.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Pouring back into our own cup. And, I know you do work with women, and it's interesting because the majority of my clients are men. It really is kind of
very interesting.
It tickles me a lot, right? And I find myself talking to single fathers or even fathers that are married, right? Because men tend to take on this role of, like, the lead. They're the leader, the maintainer. And then sometimes they seem to think that they don't need to pour back into themselves. Have you seen some of that? Work with women a lot.
In men, I see it in my own household. You know, and because I'm, you know, I'm so empathic. I can feel the energy shifts. I can see when he needs a break and that he won't give himself permission to do. And I'm like, hey, do you want a head rub? Do you want a face stretch? Do you need this? He's like, you know, yeah, let's go outside. Let's go in the backyard. Let, you know, and he's like, thanks. Because, with, again, men especially don't put themselves first or think that they need to do that because, you know, whatever some illusion told them, you know, the opposite. But they need, you know, like, hey, this illusion, no, I don't need to do that. That's, I don't know, whatever they want to label it. But it's like, no, you have to recharge yourself too so then you can be your best partner, be the best parent, business owner, you know, friend, whatever, colleague, have more insight, have more clarity to see the strategy.
Right.
So, but again, and then if you're in a household like mine where sometimes you don't listen, and then you see, like, I told you, but
right.
don't wait until you are totally empty, because it's going to take that much more energy to fill you up. It's like, you know, Dragon Ball Z, you know, Goku, you know, powering up. It's like, it's just like that. It's like you have to have that barometer or that measurement of where I'm at half staff. Okay, what can I do to fill me up just a little bit more to get me through or whatever? I see people don't eat, don't drink water, you're not hydrating. You're literally killing yourself. That's the opposite of loving yourself.
Correct. Nicole, oh my gosh, you know we could do this for days. We could do this for days, which we are this June. You know, we're starting in Parent You Together, and you're coming in as my nutrition Reiki coach, and I'm so excited. And then, you know, I'll be doing the workshop virtually with folks to talk a little bit more to their specific issues that they're dealing with either parenting or in their businesses. And it's life piece, right? We're going to be talking about the life piece with that. But, Nicole, please tell everyone a little bit. We've got about 3 minutes left, right, before we have to jump off of here. But where can we find you? What's going on? How can we help people?
So I'm on social media, Healing Through Experiences, and Khadija has tagged me and everything, so you can find me there. Also, my website is healing-experiences.com. So you can send me a message there or on social media. You can do a consultation with me so we can see if we're a good fit. I also have my new book talking about developing the relationship with no. And so that's on the website as well and on social media.
Awesome. Nicole, I'm excited for us this summer.
Me too.
I can't wait. We're going to really try to empower and pour into people from our cup of love.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. I really can't. I've been dealing with people for so many years struggling, and now that I have a partner, pull in some of this stuff with me and help people, empower them through the nutrition, through Reiki, through workshops. I have a workbook that we're working on that we're going to be using to get through some of these things and dealing with our everyday one-on-one organizational problems.
Thank you
so much, Nicole, for joining me, and I'll be seeing you very, very soon.
Yes.
Take care.
Thank you so much.
Family, pour from your cup of love, but only pour as much as you have to give. Do not give more than what you have, because you can be no good to anyone else. Thank you so much, family, for joining me this evening. As always, you guys can reach me on Instagram at Kay Stewart Consulting, Facebook, Khadija Stewart, right? LinkedIn, Khadija Stewart as well. And then always, djceosuite.padilla.com. Family, I want you to take these words, please use them. Pour into your cup of love, and then if you have some left, you can pour out. Family, it's been wonderful, and I will see you next month. Remember, always brainstorm, organize, plan to execute. Have a great, great May, and I'll see you in June. Peace, family.